Welcome back on this beautiful day to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network, on Twitter at FFR Podcast. Follow our fellow brothers at 1893 Coalition, consisting of intellectual nonsense, some great podcasts there. Lately, they've been putting up some good stuff, and Enthusiast Project. But remember, send in those questions and suggestions for us at ffnquestions@gmail.com. We love hearing what you have to say. If you have suggestions for episodes that you want us to talk about a subject, please send them in. But again, this is Freeform Radio. I am one of your hosts. My name is Daniel. Right here next to me today is...
Hey, everybody. It's Noel.
Back here together on a beautiful day, man. It's sunny outside. The fresh air is coming through this window. We got it cracked open a little bit. So, man, it feels good, man. I was tired before we started recording. I was even kind of dreading it. I'm like, oh, man, we got to record today. But, man, I cracked open that window, felt that fresh air, and, man, it gave me a second boost of energy. I'm ready.
Yep, it definitely feels like winter's over, so it's not like Game of Thrones where everything's starting over there.
Yeah, the snow's coming. But not here, man. We're enjoying the weather, man. Hopefully, we'll finish wrapping up here and get to actually get outside instead of just being locked up inside all day. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm hoping it keeps up. You know, this weather, it's something that Chicago's always up and down. You never know what to expect, but you got to enjoy it while you have it.
Nah, for sure, man. But while we were speaking of ups, man, let me know about your downs, man. I heard you're having some frustrations looking for a job, man. How's the work market out there?
It's frustrating, bro, to say the least. You feel like, at least I feel like I should have been having an easier time since I went through school and I busted my ass and I did so many things to kind of prep myself for being able to get a job that I like. However, it's proving to be more difficult. You have to know people nowadays.
No, for sure. And just to let everybody know, you do have some paper with you. You know, it's not that, you know, you're just some bum off the street who got a, you know, no bad things to people like that, you know, don't have an education. But at the same point, you did educate yourself and you're saying you're still having troubles.
Right. Like it's not so much trouble, like, there's jobs out there, right? But it's not necessarily something that I was excited to do, something that I would be proud to do. And I guess pride is something I want to get away from because it'll limit you in this life. And the thing is, though, is right now it's time for something new. I know, like, the job market right now, it's fluctuating. It always has been. But if I keep looking, if I get something that, in the meantime, will get me to where I want to be. And I don't hate much, but there's two things that I do hate.
Now, hate is a strong word. I get on people that use the word hate a lot and use the word love a lot because those are two very strong words, man. To say hate, man, that's some hardcore stuff. And to say love is especially a strong word. You know, people kind of throw it around really, you know, kind of like nothing, like it's just a normal word. But to me, when you love something, I don't put the love of my mother, my wife, my kids, my family in the same light as how I love Star Wars, because I don't love Star Wars that much. I like it a lot, maybe, but I don't love it a lot. So to say hate, man, that's some strong thing, man. What do you hate so much?
So like I said, I don't hate. I know it's a powerful word, so I don't use it often. But one of the two things I definitely hate is having a boss. And number two is being part of a system of which I have little or no control over.
Man, join the club, man. Shit. I don't hate it, but, you know, it's just a part of reality that I think most people have to deal with.
No, it shouldn't be, man. And I'm not going to deal with it forever.
No, I agree.
That's not life to me, dude. I've come to that realization. There's no way I will ever be happy living a life where I have no control over where I can go, what I can do. Where I'm limited to certain things and certain choices and options.
Yeah, and I guess that's why they say you're supposed to get educated, to kind of give you more options and where you're not limited, like you said. But even with your paper, you say you're still having that trouble?
Yeah, dude. Even with that, it's really... I don't want to put an excuse with Asperger's, but it does limit my social communication and it does limit the amount of exposure I have with, you know, a bunch of people. And that is essential when you want to excel in business, or which is what I studied, you know. And it kind of gives me to think back on what I studied and what I should have done, because my true passion is writing. I love writing. I like writing music or films or, you know, what have you, dude. It's really, the sky's the limit when it comes to that. And I would have loved to do my own business, which is kind of what I'm thinking of doing now. That's kind of what sparked this whole motivation, is I want to get a job which I can do to make money for my own business. Because like I said, I hate working for somebody that is not going to truly appreciate what you're bringing. And it's happened time and time again. I've gotten taken advantage of because they know I have skill, and I'll show other people how to do it. I have tech skills, and it's not anything like super crazy, you know, but it's enough that I know that, like, if I did it on my own, I can make just as much or more money. And one of the first businesses I want to do is a t-shirt business, because it brings my passion of, like, advertising, coming up with logos, slogans, designs. And then it also combines, you know, family, because my brother Efren was a part of that too, and he was designing shirts. And so together, I think we can make a lot of money. I know most people do, most t-shirt companies. You know, it would take the right kind of people, which is, it kind of brings back to another thing I want to do. There's this piece of advice that I got recently, and tell me if you think it rings true. So it says, if you're caged and you're in a cage, but you want to be free from it, you shouldn't focus so much on the outside of the cage. You should focus on fighting from within the cage. What do you think?
Well, how do you perceive that? How do you perceive what that means?
Well, it changes for everyone's situation. It depends. Like, maybe somebody might be caged with bills, you know, like different things, you know, financial. It could be, you know, social, what have you. Like, it's not necessarily one specific situation. But, like, let's say you're part of a system that you don't want to be a part of anymore, and you want to break free from that. Don't focus so much on the people that already have that. Focus on fighting back from within, finding a way to use the system to your advantage so that you can break free with that momentum.
Yeah, at first when you said it, my first thought was maybe it means be content inside the cage instead of trying to get out. But then you used the word fight from within, so that doesn't kind of fit with what I was initially thinking. So by saying fight from within, I don't know, my first thought is, you know,
yeah, man, you got to shake it up, man. You got to shake up the inside and not really dwell too much on what's out there until you resolve your situation from inside.
That's pretty much what it gets down to. I mean, it's more of a metaphor. It's not to be literal. Like, you're not in a literal cage trying to break free. It's more of me trying to make a metaphor towards the system that's set up here, where we are born, we're trained, and then we work, and then we die. And all that's right. It. That's the cycle.
Well, let me put it you like this. What if it means even more than what's outside, like the environment around us? What if it means the cage that's inside of each of us, the limitation that we have, mm-hmm. that we put in ourselves? Maybe that's what it means. Before you can go out there and challenge the world, challenge what's inside of you to overcome the diversity that you have inside of you.
That's also another way to look at it. I mean, this advice, this like quote, it can work in so many different ways with many different interpretations, but that's a good one too, to look at it as you're trying to be better than what you were. You're trying to fight from within yourself and fight maybe the things that weakened you, or the things
some inner demon or something that's stopping you inside. Exactly. Or maybe inner limitation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tell my son all the time, because he's getting into reading lately, so he likes to read to me and to himself, and I love it, man. To me, it brings a lot of joy to me, just because I struggled. I mean, not that I was an idiot or that I don't know how to read. But I did struggle reading, man. And I'm not sure if I had dyslexia or if I had some kind of, you know, I don't know, some kind of comprehension issue that, you know, maybe with help I could have got better. But my parents being the immigrant parents and maybe not knowing of tools or things to help us, you know, educate ourselves better, you know, I worked with it and I did the best that I could. But I think it limited me with, you know, what I could have maybe done. But no resentment to what or how my past came about. But at the same time, I recognize that I don't want that to be a limitation to Junior. So I try to give him every tool that he needs. And it makes me happy to see that he's not struggling, at least not yet, with some of the same issues that I had. So it is something that I continuously try. I try to push myself to read more.
I don't usually read big novels, but I try to push myself, try to read as many articles as I can, and just try to read every day just to make sure that, you know, I try to expand that part of my brain.
Oh, definitely. It's a good thing you're doing, man. What you're trying to do is you had a demon when you grew up and you want to break that so your child doesn't have the same demon. And that's a smart thing to do, man. That's the whole thing about parents is you want to make your kid stronger than you were. So that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, so I kind of see that cage thing kind of like that, or at least that's my first gut feeling of what that means to me.
Yeah, that's the beauty of that quote is, like, you can interpret in so many different ways and it works for so many different people. But ultimately what it means to me is that I not only want to, like, start my own business, but I want to help other people that are in a similar situation or have a similar mindset to me where they feel fed up with the way that things are and they want to change. And I'm hoping to find charismatic people that'll, you know, work with me to do not only the t-shirt business, that's just one small aspect, but that might want to do something else, you know, entertainment wise. What I want to do is start a company that owns intellectual property. So anything you create, we'll patent, we'll make sure it's, it's certified and it'll be under our name. So, you know, we know that there's passion behind it. We're going to recruit enough people that, you know, hopefully we'll make a difference.
Cool. So you want to start a writing company where you come up with, like, characters, ideas, storyboards, stuff like that? Is that what you're talking about?
And not just limited to writing, but it could go for different things like film. It could go for music, for lyrics, and, you know, all different kinds of things, advertising for the shirts or different logos, maybe websites. Really what it is just like a housing company that owns intellectual property that will sell out that intellectual property to other companies that might want to use it, you know? So it's pretty much the bridge point or the jumping point for anybody who isn't part of this company to get to another company that publishes.
So you want to be like a babyface that writes the songs for other artists and then they sing it, but you just write it and you come up with the lyrics and somebody else sings it for you.
That's one way to look at it. It might not always work out that way. It could be some different situation, but that's one situation where that might be true.
But something like that is what you're mentioning. At least that's what I'm trying to get. That
somebody will come to us and, like, by this time I'll have, like, a studio set up so that we can record and stuff. And somebody will be like, hey, I have nobody that, you know, wants to sign me. Like, this will be like an entertainment company geared towards people that can't get signed everywhere else. People that maybe have, like, certain, you know, restrictions, maybe some people that have autism or something, that, you know, I'm going to open up to different people that have different situations where they don't always get the same opportunities as everybody else.
Okay. All right, cool.
I kind of feel like it's all about equality right now. This is the kind of change that's happening. Might as well help for them too. You know, April just passed. We didn't really mention anything for autism awareness, and it kind of got me thinking about that.
No, sure. No, I know autism is a big issue, especially nowadays, man. You see it more and more in kids. Me and Alana struggled a lot with some of the vaccines that we gave for Junior because some of them have been linked to autism or are said to be linked to autism. And that study is ongoing. But it was definitely a battle for us just because we know it's a challenging, situation that you're put yourself into if you do have that situation, you know, with autism. So we didn't want to force that onto my son just because of a bad decision we make. But no, for sure, man, I applaud you for trying to, you know, get people together. You know, it sounds very challenging, but hopefully everything works out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can only try. That's all I can do is try and see what happens. I kind of got motivated from when I was watching that anime I told you about, One Piece.
Oh, okay. The pirate one you were saying last episode, right?
Yeah, so, like, Luffy, he's the captain of this crew. He has all these pirates that are with him, and his promise to them is that if they follow him, you know, not only will he achieve his dream of being the pirate king, he'll help them achieve their dream of whatever they want. Some people want to be the greatest swordsman. Some people want to be, like the greatest chef. You know, it's a different thing. It's a funny show.
Like the greatest chef? There's a guy like that, or are you just making that up?
No, I'm serious. He dresses in a tuxedo. He's a karate master, but he wants to be the greatest chef.
Holy shit. And seeing how, when you were explaining it last week, the first thing that I thought, I'm like, these are just some Dragon Ball Z guys that are just going out there trying to be the best master kicking ass. And that was my first thought when you said it to me, except it's with a pirate, you know, kind of spin on it. I didn't know that there was cooks trying to be the best chef they can be.
There's an animal that wants to be a human, because it ate one of the fruits, and the fruits gave the animal a power. So it was just a deer, but then when it ate the fruit, it became like an intelligent deer and talks and it kicks ass. It's a cool show, but anyway, that's kind of sidetracking. Pretty much it motivated me. It started thinking like, what if I start my own business and I make enough money that, you know, pretty soon I don't have to work anymore. I can go and explore the world, go do what I want, because that's ultimately what, to me, life would be worthy of living, is if you get to see the world, not just know it exists. You know?
Okay. Oh, for sure, man. Oh, that sounds ambitious, man. I know you've been working hard on this t-shirt company, but obviously with limitations in place, you know, you're doing the best you can. So hopefully you don't hit too many roadblocks, if any, with this new endeavor. But yeah, man, good for you, man. You were also mentioning you had an update for us concerning the genetics.
Oh, yeah. Real quick, it's not anything crazy. It's just I found a few websites that, you know, trace back different names, you know, where they came from, different countries. And there was this website that traced back the specific list of names of surnames from Spain, from Iberia. So it traces back, you know, thousands of years, or, you know, roughly over 1,000 years.
And for the people that didn't hear, this all came about from our brother getting a genetics test before he got married, or what was it called?
A genotype test.
Yeah. And then from there, we found out that there was a little bit mixed from other races, which kind of surprised my parents. And that caused you to search a little further and see exactly what it was about.
Yeah. We're a mixture of European, African, Asian, Jewish. And this website, it's pretty cool. Like, I'm going to post up all the links that I found. People can put any name you want. Not all of them are in there. Not any name, but most are. It's a pretty big database. And it's a couple different links. And one of them, it's pretty intriguing, dude. It got me thinking, because with this whole job thing, I was, you know, cleaning up, grooming up, you know, I'm going to get some interviews going. And I'm hoping I'll have a new job by the end of May. That's kind of my goal. So anyway, to kind of gear up for all these interviews these next few weeks, you know, I started trimming my beard and all that. And I noticed that on my chin, I have all these blonde hairs growing. And it kind of like, it took me by surprise. I'm like, man, my hair has been changing, you know, throughout the years. I kind of got a little red in my beard, a little orange. My eyes are getting green, but I'm wondering where all this came from, because it's genetics, and it's proven that when you get older, your genetics do change, but you have to have it in you to change that, you know? So I'm wondering if that's where it comes from, because there, believe it or not, I don't know if you know, there are blonde people in our family. It kind of traces back to like our great uncle, but they had blonde hair, blue eyes. Our great grandma had green eyes. So it kind of got me thinking, like, is this true? You know, the website is showing us this information. Maybe it's real, you know?
I know in my driver's license, I tell everybody I got hazel eyes. I don't know if I really do, but I put hazel eyes. I think it's cool.
I remember you do. Yeah, because like if you see the light shining on there, you see it.
Yeah, cool. And that's what people tell me. They're like, it's because you're flashing a flashlight in your face, and that's why it looks green. But
it's not a green flashlight, though.
But it's just the haters, man. The haters that hate to think that they just got regular eyes, man. I got some green ones going on. But at my parents, when I used to live in my parents' house, they have overhead lights right by the mirror. So I remember when I would, you know, look into my face a little closer to kind of, you know, whatever I was doing, brushing my teeth or, you know, checking something out. Right. I would notice from the reflection a little green haze in my eyes. So, you know, since I was younger, I'm like, man, you know, I got hazel eyes. And it was just something dumb that I would always say. And people would always be like, you don't got hazel eyes. You just got brown eyes. And I'm like, no, it's because it changes color, you know, sometimes in the light.
Yeah.
And I always just said it kind of like as a goof. But at the same time, I do think I got a little bit of green in my eyes.
Oh, I definitely see that. And it does change with the light and what kind of light. If it's the sunlight or if it's like a camera light, it'll be different. Mine do the same. Mine turn green when it's camera light, or more like brownish reddish when it's like the sunlight.
Oh, sure. So tell me a little more about this website. So you punch in the name, and then what kind of information spits out?
So there's two different websites, House of Names, and there's another one, Family Education, Familypedia, I believe it's called. And I'll put the links up there, but there's also another link, and I can't remember the exact the name of the company, but it's pretty much like a company that got a list of people and got their surnames, and they got blood tests, and they got, you know, pretty much information collected from throughout the world to find these genotypes, these like haplogroups they called them. So like there's RB1, RB2, there's I, there's different letters designating different haplogroups or groups of people.
Now, before you get too much deeper,
yeah,
I just don't know enough about it. So what is a surname? What is that?
Surname is when you, like, your last name, pretty much. So Corral would be your surname. And when you when you look it up on there, it'll tell you what haplogroup you have. So for ours, Corral, actually Corral wasn't on there, shockingly. But there was another one, Herrera, was on there. And that one supposedly has African origins as Jewish.
That's my mother's last name.
Yeah, it has supposed African and Jewish ancestry. It's the haplogroup E1B1B1, I believe. It gets pretty crazy. I've been delving into genetics and anthropology as well, because that's another way to find out your ancestry. Like our teeth, for example, if they're shaped a certain shovel shape, it has more tendency to be Native American ancestry.
Oh, shit.
So when we did my teeth, I saw the x-ray and everything. It's not completely shovel shaped, but it's not completely flat either. It's like a combination. So a mixed ancestry, maybe. I don't know. But it's interesting to look all this stuff up. I've had fun.
No, yeah, yeah. I mean, most of it is maybe theories in some way, but in some ways it's some guy's research that he did, and this is his conclusions. So it is kind of fun to check those things out every now and then. Yeah. I know Junior cracks up because I got these, like, vampire teeth that are really sharp, and he you know, from seeing Hotel Transylvania and all those cartoons with vampires, he's like, "Daddy, are you a vampire?" And he's like, "Yeah, at night I go out and I drink some blood," and he just starts cracking up. But yeah, you know, it's funny to even hear. I've never heard of that one where your teeth can show maybe some of your past or some of your heritage in your past.
Well, that's just specific variation with Native Americans. Your skull shape is another thing. Your sockets.
I have heard of skull shape. Yeah,
I supposedly, after looking at different faceplates, I supposedly have a German shaped skull.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'd have to get an anthropologist to verify, but
or maybe you just wore a Thai hat, and, you know, when you were younger, you know, that's just the way your head came out.
Maybe.
But yeah. No, it's cool to hear, man, that you got it, man. Now, don't forget to put the links, because I have heard from people that you always say, yeah, I'll put the link, and you don't put anything. So these people be hating, man, that you say you're going to put the link and you don't put it. So remember,
man.
Drop that link, man.
I'm getting better with it. I'm going to definitely start getting on track with that. This will be the start. I'll be on good.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm good,
on good,
man.
Terms here.
Nah, cool. But speaking of genetics, man, we like to wish all the mothers out there a happy Mother's Day. By the time this drops, we'll be kind of late for Mother's Day, but, you know, our thoughts are still there. All the mothers out there, I know my mother, great woman. She tries her best, you know, bad or good, you know, she always tries her best. And that's what I'll give her, you know, that she's going to do what she can that's within her means. And even if it isn't in her means, she's going to try.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll give her that. And I, you know, I love her for that. So, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. May you enjoy yourself. And even the mothers that, or even the women that are out there that don't have children, but maybe tried, even for those people, man, because I do feel for women who are unable to have children, or even guys that are unable to have children, just because it is a great amount of joy from having a son. So I know to not have a kid or not being able to have a kid, you know, can be difficult. And I know Mother's Day and Father's Day can be very difficult for those people. So my prayers and hearts go out to those women as well.
Now, those women should also know that just because you're not blood related doesn't mean you can't be a mother. There are many women out there who are, you know, people that adopt or people that are just very caring aunts. You know, they can't have kids, but they still have nephews and nieces that they care for like their own kids. You know, they deserve, you know, a chance to be celebrated as mothers as well.
No, for sure, man. I know myself, I got enough love for like 10 kids or something, but I only got one. So, you know, hopefully everybody's going to enjoy their Mother's Day. By the time this drops, we'll probably know how our mom did, our grandma and all the rest of our aunts and everybody out there. But again, just happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. Hopefully you enjoyed your day. But just getting back to something, what I was doing, I just finished up Metal Gear Solid like a week or so ago.
Very nice.
Yeah, Yeah, I know I had mentioned it before, and I've just been kind of grinding on it and just over and over again, just playing it.
What number is this one?
It would be five. Yeah, five. Okay. Yeah, it'd be number five. There's been a couple little spinoffs here and there, but this is the fifth and last one, I'm assuming, from Kojima. Yeah, because he's no longer with Konami, so I'm sure he's going to be going off to do something else. Mm-hmm. But man, a great game. I can't say enough praises about it. It had me hooked. And I mean, since, man, maybe Christmas time, I've been playing it. So, you know, a good 3 months and, you know, not lazy gaming either, man. I've been putting tons of hours. I should have wrote down how many hours I've played because it does keep track of it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this thing must have soaked up hundreds of hours, man. I don't know. That.
Well, you do like to unlock everything, right? Like you want to beat it all the way through.
Yeah, for sure. And even though I'm persistent like that, I still was not able to 100% this game, which I do like to do that. I do like to try to find every single collectible. I like to try to finish every single mission. And I did do quite a bit. I finished all the side missions. I found all the cassette tapes, found all the posters.
You still get the stealth suit and the bandana, or no?
Yeah, when you beat the game, the infinite bandana becomes unlocked. The riding suit becomes unlocked, and there's a few other suits that get unlocked. So I did unlock quite a bit of them. Even after I beat the game, there was still stuff for me to do. What was a funny thing about the game is that there's actually like there's two light endings and one main ending. So as you're beating the game, you'll reach, I forget what level it is, but, you know, level 11 or something, or mission 11. And as soon as you beat that mission, you get an end screen or something that you would think like, oh, man, this is the end of the game. Okay, I guess this is how the story ends. And then the credits roll, and then before you know it, they're calling you. You know, your character reappears, and you're kind of walking around, and you're like, well, I guess it's an open sandbox now, and I can do whatever the hell I want. But now then more missions start popping up and they start calling you for more things like, hey, the Russians need help with this, the Afghanis need help with that, go do this, go do that. And you know, it just opened up more storyline, and not like side story stuff, or not just side story stuff, like main storyline arc also. So starts,
it's almost like Skyrim then, where you have multiple missions aside from your main story then.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the big things that's different about this Metal Gear Solid, is that it's more open world. Mm-hmm. So there's 10, you know, just up to that part, there's like 10 main missions. And then there's, for sake of saying, you know, maybe 30 side missions. And nice. You can play it in whatever order you want. You can play these missions. It's all open world. When you select a mission, it tells you where the starting point is. So like you say, you want to do, you know, side mission 20. Well, as soon as you select it, it'll tell you, all right, you need to get to this point in the map in order to activate the mission. So then it's an open world, so you can be on the totally opposite side of the world and you have to travel to the other side and then activate the mission. As soon as you get there, the mission will start. Or you can just fly it through your helicopter, and then as soon as you land, your mission will start. So it's really open world. You get to play and fight the way you want. You can go in stealth, guns blazing, or however you want to do it. So it was really cool, man. I mean, the loot system was really addictive. It made me want. Yeah.
How did it have loot?
Well, loot like guns, better armament, resources. Like you would have to find like fire or something, you know, and gunpowder, this. And, you know, you would have to find like these resources.
Like ingredients to make something bigger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then to unlock certain guns, you would have to have certain plants. You would have to have certain, you know, resources, rare metals, minor metals, precious metals, diamonds. You'd have to have all these things. And as you find and collect them, you unlock more and are able to build more. And then it just kind of it keeps snowballing. The more you get, the more it unlocks. And then it just branches off into trees. You know, you unlock this one gun, and then that gun allows you to get four variations of it. And then to get those four variations, you need these resources. So then it just makes you like, oh man, I got to go out there and grind some more and get some more resources. Like I unlock all these other perks, you know, I get a scope with this one, or I get a silencer with that one, or, you know, or even stuff for your mother base, which that's what they call their like home base. Mm-hmm. You can unlock surveillance cameras. So if people come attack you, you know, you got cameras to try to alert everybody, you know, gun turrets and stuff like that. You know, and it
just R2-D2 and shit.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it gets nuts. Yeah, they got drones. You can get drones and shit to fly around. And then as you walk in your mother base, because mother base is another open world, you could just walk around mother base all day. And you just see interactions between characters, you know, different soldiers will start talking to each other. You got a animal sanctuary where all the animals you've been rescuing, they all live in this animal sanctuary. So you go and you visit all the animals you've been rescuing the whole time.
Like a little zoo right there.
Yeah, yeah, like a little zoo.
Interesting.
No, it's a really cool game, man. It's got a really cool thing that kind of hooks you and grabs you, man. And it just makes you want to go back and just do more and more and more. So like I said, it finished that first story arc, kind of wrapped it up, and then it just, you know, just opened up to another story arc that kind of developed the story even more. And then even after you beat that, there's another one, another short one after that, where it's just like another mission or two after that. And then that's where you get the final grand finale. Like, this is it. There's no more main story arcs. You can continue doing the open world stuff, and if you didn't finish all the side missions, you can go back and finish those. But as far as the main mission, that's it.
Interesting. Wow. So how long total do you think you invested in it?
If I had to give an estimate, it's got to be 100+ hours. I mean, it was a ton. I mean, I would wake up sometimes on the weekends a little early, just because I'm used to waking up early and I can't sleep in. And I would game for 2-3 hours in the morning before Junior and Alana would get up, and then we would get breakfast going and get our day going. So just imagine that, you know, Saturday and Sunday, you know, since Christmas until just about, you know, just a week or so ago, I finished. And finally, I was just like, all right, I got as far as I'm going to get. You know, I'm just going to keep playing over and over again, or I can just start something new. So,
That's badass, dude. It's definitely evolved from where it began. There's no way you would have put 100 hours in the original, you know, compared to now. So it's more content. That's awesome.
No, for sure. Yeah, the original was more linear, the storyline. And then, you know, to replay something, you would just be replaying the same mission over and over again. And when this one, you can do that same thing. You can keep replaying the same mission, but at the same time, it's an open world. So as you walk around, you just run across random stuff. You'll run across a supply truck driving down the road, and you can ambush it, steal its supplies. You'll see coyotes and just animals just roaming the you know, because there's main two locations is Africa and Afghanistan. So you'll see, you know, different animals in those two lands, and it's just really cool, man. It seems alive, so it was a really badass game, and I enjoyed myself a lot with that one.
I can't wait to get around to playing all those, man. It's been a while since I played anything after number two, so I'm gonna have to catch up.
No, yeah. So finally put a rest to that one and started looking into seeing what I was gonna bite my teeth into next. And I found it, man. It went on sale last week, and I found it for like 20 some bucks. Like, I think it was like $24.
That's a deal. What'd you get?
Yeah, I ended up getting Fallout 4.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's another huge game that it's got as well. Another big open world that has somewhat a similar structure to the way Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain or Metal Gear Solid 5 is. Mm-hmm. Where you just roam around the open world, and as you go, you trigger these missions, or you run into people that will cause a mission to start or the option for a mission to start. So another huge world that's probably going to sink a lot of my time into it. So we'll see, man. So far, so good. I've only played it for a few hours, so I'm barely getting into it. But it seems cool so far. You know, graphics updated since PlayStation 3. That was the last time I played it. I played Fallout 3. I didn't play the New Vegas, and I think there was one other one after that. I can't really remember.
I'm not too sure. I know the New Vegas for sure, but how did you like Fallout 3?
I liked it, man. To me, got kind of tough towards the end just because, you know, I didn't really like the setting. Everything looked so drab, and even the characters you would talk to, they're all like run down and kind of sad. And it put me kind of in a bummy mood, like, you know, like, man, this it's really bleak and grim here, man. It's like, maybe this isn't the kind of game I want to play.
That's how I felt, too. Like, I played Fallout 3, but I didn't get too far because I kind of had the same feeling. But Fallout 4, maybe it's different than so far.
Yeah, I mean, so far I haven't really got too much into it, so I don't know how the story's going to develop. But at least for the vistas and the atmosphere, it's a lot more colorful. There's actually, like, greens, and there's trees, and there's
life.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know where it falls in the timeline, so I don't know if, like, Fallout 3 was maybe after that, so all the trees died out, or what the situation was. Or maybe it's a lot after Fallout 3 where, you know, trees are starting to regrow. I really don't know yet. Mm-hmm. But it looks a lot better, you know, the skies. There's actually a sky that's sunny at times, and then at times a nuclear shower will come out, and you see, like, this lightning that causes your radiation to go up because it's so saturated with radiation. Whoa. And where Fallout 3, it was nothing like that. It was always dark gray skies, you know, because it's trying to tell you, you know, there's all this ash and nuclear fallout, so there's no more sun. So
it's like England. It's just no sun.
Oh, is that how it is down there?
No, I'm just joking. I mean, it's pretty gloomy, though, all the time. It's like, it's kind of hard to see a really sunny day in England.
Oh, shit, man. Sucks for them, I guess.
I was just joking, man. Can't complain about Chicago when you have something like that to look
compared to. No, sure. But no, so far so good, man. I'm digging the game. Been in it for a couple hours and starting to get into that loot routine. That's another one with tons of loot. There's a bunch of garbage you could pick up and stuff like that. So
it's like an RPG almost.
Yeah, because you develop your character and you get to branch out and put you know, points into luck or precision or perception or strength and this and that. And you just get to develop the character the way you want.
I like that. I wish too, though. Well, I mean, you can't really have too much, I guess. It's more of a passive skills, I guess, right? Versus like active skills, because it's more realistic, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult, or at least so far for me, just because my character is so underpowered, to really just go around guns a-blazing, because if you don't go with somewhat of a strategy, you're going to die, and I've died tons of times already.
Already?
Yeah, oh, just because it's hard, man, you know. I start wandering around. I'm like, let me go see what's over here in this corner. So I wander, you know, forever. I'll walk like 5 minutes. And then I'll run across like a village or a town, and then all of a sudden, like a zombie will come out, or a ghoul. They call them ghouls, I think. Mm-hmm. Will come out, and then you're like, "Oh, this is no problem." And I'll give him like 4 or 5 headshots, and then finally he dies. And I'm like, "All right, I did it, man." And then before you know it, like 5 more pop out of nowhere, and you're like, "Holy shit, man!" So you start trying to quick shoot them, and before you know it, you got like 2 or 3 like right on you, like they're, you know, taking life away from you. So you're like, you know, trying to run, and your VAT system is connected to your run as well. So as you run, you deplete it. So there goes your quick shot. So you're just like, oh shit, man. And it just gets to the point where you're like, man, I got to watch out. You know, I can't just run in and not be aware of my surroundings, because these ghouls will start surrounding you, and then they'll just kill you.
It's pretty cool. You got to be good under pressure then, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so far so cool, man. I like it. I'm digging it. Probably get to play a little bit more maybe today, if not for sure tomorrow. Usually in the morning before Alana and Junior get up, you know, I get a little chance to get a little game in, or at least have a little Daniel time and catch up on some TV or some reading, and, you know, do some of my thing. So yeah, that's what I'm into right now, just playing Fallout. So I'll let you guys know how it goes from here on out. But so far so good, man. I do recommend it so far.
You gotta love Sony, man. They've been putting out a lot of good stuff, you know, for games. Really, PlayStation is like one of their biggest things, but I heard something about them making some other invention aside from gaming. It's more like visual aid.
Yeah, it's a contact lens that they're trying to develop. They're working with the patent office on trying to develop this contact lens. And this contact lens, I guess they're saying it's going to have photo as well as video capabilities. So they're saying that it will be actuated with a blink of an eye.
Yeah, so it looks like it hooks up to your smartphone, and it literally activates when you blink. And it can also do playback, so it playbacks like video, whatever you record when you close your eyes. So it's pretty intense, man. Wow.
No, that is kind of intense. I mean, kind of close to this, I know they're also coming out with a VR headset, which they're developing.
It was first announced as Morpheus, and then they now it's called PSVR or something like that.
Okay.
And I think it's scheduled in October, if I'm not mistaken. But this is very similar, except there's no equipment. There's no wires. This thing is right on your contact lens, which is kind of amazing and kind of scary at the same time.
Oh, yeah. You can imagine tons of applications for this. I wonder, like, it could be good or it could be bad. It all depends on what you do.
And again, this is just a patent, so who knows if it'll be developed. Who knows if the patent will even be approved. Because from the looks of it, Sony is not the only one that's kind of chasing this tech.
That's right.
Yeah, the article made mention that Samsung also filed for a patent of a similar lens, which they're calling a smart contact. And Google also has a patent that they're investing in above their Google lenses or their Google glasses.
Man, they're making everything.
So the lens, again, they're saying that the patent will allow them to record and even play back the video. So, as you know, they can record something and then they could, you know, with their smartphone or maybe with a gesture with their eye, enabled playback of the video right internally into their eye. So you're going to be able to see this video formulate, you know, in front of your vision. That's got to be kind of freaky. I wonder if it's going to be like disorientating to have like maybe one eye seeing this playback, or is it going to show both and you're not going to be able to see what's in the background of what people are walking around. I don't know how it's going to all work.
I think this is what you're talking about with Google, right? Google Cardboard?
Well, I know that was one of it. The Google Cardboard, that was like the inexpensive way to get like a 3D world or some kind of like a virtual reality. And I think that was their first stab at it. And then I know Samsung evolved on that and made their Samsung VR gear stuff. So I know virtual reality glasses and all that stuff is really popping right now.
It's good to see that we're moving forward with technology, but I wonder where it's going to lead. I mean, I'm hoping that it doesn't get too crazy and we don't use it for negative things. I don't know if you heard recently, there was another article about them coming up with this technology that could pretty much make you look like you're doing something even if you're not. Like, it could replace your appearance with a celebrity or something, and you can start doing jumping jacks, and it looks like the celebrity's doing jumping jacks.
Yeah, I did see a video on YouTube not too long ago, like you mentioned, and where they like facially scan people and then they'll overlay your mouth or your muscles below the, you know, like exterior of you know, like let's say Martin Sheen or whatever, you know, and then you would see him on the outside, and as you move your mouth, it looks like he's talking. And you can make them do whatever you want within reason. You know, I'm sure you can't just start doing cartwheels and start, you know, doing like full motion video like that, or at least not yet. But at least the facially, it looked like it would mimic the person who's, you know, being videotaped.
Right. That particular invention, it could have good or bad implications in the future. For example, let's say somebody uses it negatively and they use it to frame somebody for murder, for some crime that they never committed, that would hold up in court as a video, you know, unless you can prove that it was doctored, which I'm hoping that there are ways to prove that you would use this program or this, you know, invention
to detect it. Yeah,
right. Because otherwise you have a Running Man, the movie. You remember Running Man? Oh, yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger? You have another incident like that.
No, for sure. I mean, and to be honest, dude, when I first read this article about the contact lens, that was my first thought. And I don't know if it's just the conspiracy theory inside of me, but that was my first thought. I'm like, man, what if Sony or whoever can hack into this video feed can overlay a reality over your eye, then that you see is for real, like maybe an attacker, you know, an attacker's in your house. So then you pull out your gun and you start shooting to this imaginary person. And while you're doing that, you're actually, you know, killing somebody else, or there might be something else that's there, and it's making you see something that's not really there. I'm like, man, could shit like that happen? And then this thing could be, you know, kind of be used in a bad way, like you said.
Yeah, that it's scary, man. This day and age where technology is evolving, we almost need somebody to make sure that the people will be safe no matter what happens with the technology, like some kind of safe measure, safeguard.
Yeah, no, man.
I mean, I don't know if you're hinting towards government doing it, because I don't want them kind of...
More like a third-party company, maybe.
Yeah.
That has, like, a neutral force against everybody.
Skynet, man, for sure.
Skynet.
They could take care of it, man.
A.K.A. Google.
Yeah. But also, another article that we found was Microsoft. Microsoft is also not just sneezing at this thing, you know. They are developing this HoloLens. And I know it was maybe around this time last year, they kind of did like a full demonstration on it at E3, which is just around the corner, this coming up E3. But in the last one, they did a demo with Minecraft. They had a 3D HoloLens Minecraft where they can use like this table, for example, that's in front of us. We have like a 4x4 table here that we use to kind of just prop up our notes and stuff like that. And the guy was able to project the game world on this table. And then he would be able to move his hand out and then with simple gestures, move blocks around, levitate things, move things in the game world in real time. And because of this virtual headset that he was wearing or these glasses, he was able to perceive the world in a 3D and, you know, kind of like a virtual reality. Mm-hmm. At the same time, still seeing the stuff around him. So he would still see the table, still see the door and the walls. And that would all still be there at the same time as the game world overlaid on an object like the table.
Interesting. I like that. It's bringing to light a lot of technology you see in TV shows and movies nowadays, like Iron Man, where he has like that overlay keyboard that he uses to actually work. And
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that, man, it's awesome. I want to have that one day.
Yeah, what was that Tom Cruise movie? The
Minority Report.
Yeah, like that, man. That would be badass, man. Oh, just have some gestures and be moving screens around and shit like that. That would be cool.
Hell yeah. I could see it happening one day.
Yeah, this particular article, it goes into a little bit of detail as to the practical applications that you can use for maybe like watching the Super Bowl. Like while as you're watching the game on the TV, you would be able to put these lenses on, and then around the TV would be stats and information concerning the game. Or you might be able to see a player actually standing next to you. And then maybe seeing his stats, you know, after he did a run or a play, and then you would see the player next to you, and then you, you know, have like a short animation where he's, you know, like walking around or something, and then there it would tell you, you know, last year's stats or what he's been doing so far or an injury he's working through or whatever, and it'll just have like stats and information for you all in like a 3D world, you know, that you see in front of you. It looked really cool, man.
That'd be sick. Like, immediately when you said that, I started thinking about UFC. And what if they did that for that? Like, when they get to the corner, you see them, like, a display, like, right next to you, them talking. So it's like you're right next to them in the corner with them. That would be insane.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looked like. They're implying that these could be the applications that company use. Now, I don't know if it's, you know, practical or not. I don't know what kind of rigs you would need. You know, I know a lot of people say for these 3D movies, you know, it's actually quite a bit complicated, especially if it's native 3D. Now, if it's like just regular recorded and then put through like that software to make it 3D, that's different.
Like a filter.
Yeah. But if it's actually filmed in 3D, that it's actually a pretty complicated and big cameras that are, you know, expensive. And so it's not as practical to make a native 3D movie. So I'm wondering if doing these HoloLenses, will it require like special cameras? Is it going to require you to film three different angles, you know, to say, or these new 360 cameras? I mean, what will you need to achieve this? You know, that's what I wonder.
Yeah, you have to wonder too, like, how do they learn how to record like events like that? Because it's gotten better. If you compare like 1960s football to now, the angles they get, they have like freaking like props that move the cameras like automatically, like remote control and shit. It's fucking nuts of what they're doing. So I could imagine down the line, yeah, they might have some way to make it easier for 3D. Right now, it's really difficult. Like you said, it's extensive, expensive. I think in the future, man, it's going to be nice.
No, for sure. I know the football games, they have that sky cam that goes on those zip lanes.
Right.
Over the top. I know Vince McMahon, he was the first one to bring that out. Did you know that?
Vince McMahon, really?
Yeah. When he started his XFL, And then he's the one that came out with that zip line idea. And he would put the camera on the zip line, but he would use it not as well as the NFL uses it nowadays. He would kind of have the camera just zip across the field. So you wouldn't get as good as a shot as they are now. Now they're more automated. I don't know if they're using like remotes or how they actually control the camera and the motion, but it seemed a little more sloppier when Vince was using it.
So it's just fluid motion now compared to before then.
Yeah, before then, I think it was more like, all right, let's push this across the trolley, and then it zings around across the field, and then you would get like maybe like, you know, 5 seconds of good video that you could, you know, replay on the, you know, the big screen. So, but yeah, they're the ones that brought it out, man. I remember going to some of the XFL games when they had their Chicago Enforcers, I think was the name of the Chicago team.
That's right, yeah.
I went to a couple games, you know, just to check it out because, you know, they had cheerleaders, and Chicago doesn't have cheerleaders because the Bears don't have any, but they had cheerleaders for this.
Why is that? Why?
It's because it's too cold, man. You got an open stadium.
But don't the Vikings have cheerleaders?
Yeah, actually, I think they do. The Vikings or the Lions have it. You know, one of those two teams have it, and they deal with it. But, No, it wasn't the only reason I went to the XFL, but, you know, it was just cool to even have that, not being accustomed to having cheerleaders on the sideline because, you know, we don't have any of that with the Bears.
That's true, yeah.
But it was cool, man. It was a cool idea. Different rules made it really fast, really high impact, but then people started getting injured, and then there was issues, you know, with certain players. And just, I imagine, money and marketing and whatever, you know, trying to go up against the NFL. They didn't really succeed.
It still exists, maybe just not as XFL, right?
Well, I know a lot of the players went to the Canada League, and then there's a couple other like minor league football leagues that you can go to.
Indoor, right?
Yeah. And then even a few of the top players, I forget what the top player was, but it was some weird name guy, because that was the other thing is on your jersey, you would get to put your little like hashtag name. So, you know, whatever your name is, you would be able to put it on there, like, you know, Spinneroonie, and that would be your name, and that's what would be on your jersey. So that's how they would call you, even though you had a regular name. So that was the other thing. And I forget the name of the character or the guy that was, like, one of the famous players. He actually got signed on to an NFL team, you know, after the XFL went out of business. And I'm sorry, this is a huge tangent for football, but yeah, he went, and I think he had like a half decent year, but, after he went to the NFL level, he wasn't able to compete. The NFL players were just too fast, too big, and too strong for him.
Yeah. We'll see, man. You can't always go from, you know, minor to the big leagues, dude. Doesn't make that easy.
Yeah. We're not all the, what's that guy's name? Warner. Yeah, that guy, he went from, I believe it was the Canada League, and then he came over here. Or no, it was the Arena, I think it was, Arena League, and then he came to NFL, and then he just kicked ass. And even before that, he was a bagger. He was like a checkout bagger for like Dominic's or something, I forget. And man, he kicked ass, so he made it work. But yeah, when you got a good arm, man, you can make shit like that work for sure. Getting back to this HoloLens and stuff like that, it's good to see these video game companies, you know, kind of thinking out of the box and coming up with new tech and new gear for us out there, at least for us techie geeks, you know, that kind of like technology and like to be on the edge of it, you know.
I can't wait to see what they do in the future, man. It's evolving. It's scaring me every single day. I'm seeing newer and newer stuff. And every single day I have like a backlog of articles for technology. So this is just the stuff that I got to recently. I'm still reading through everything. I can't wait to see what I'm going to find.
No, for sure, man. But I think we even got Alana convinced that maybe getting the Sony PlayStation VR when it comes out in October. I know Junior's been watching a lot of YouTube videos, and all these YouTube, you know, persona character guys, they're all playing VR right now. They're all playing the Oculus, is it? The one Facebook.
The Rift. Okay.
And then so they're playing those games, and Junior's like, "Oh, I want that, Daddy. I want that." So I showed him the PlayStation VR, and he's just like, "I don't care what it is called, you know. I just want to do VR." So I think I got Alana convinced because I kept telling Junior, well, just tell mama. If you can convince mama, we'll get it.
There you go. Smart play.
Yeah, and I think Junior broke her down. So she's just like, well, when's this 3D? What is this thing? And then I told her, I'm like, well, PlayStation, October, blah, blah, blah. And she's just like, oh, God, man, you guys with your tech. And, you know, I think she's on that edge, man. We'll break her down soon, man. And,
you got her outnumbered, man. You got it. Little by little.
So we'll see, man. If we could break her down, maybe by the time Christmas rolls around, I'll have a little review on some PSVR, man, and tell you how that's going.
Hell yeah. I'd look to hear for that, dude.
Nah, for sure, man. It shows a lot of promise. Got a lot of cool ideas and gaming applications, or even above that, man. Like, imagine like being virtual reality. Like, I could see you at your house, and then we can interact that way, and I can talk to you, and I can see you virtually, and then you can talk to me with some type of like 3D camera that's videotaping you and me, and then we could, you know, just like the way we're sitting next to each other now, we can do it over a virtual reality line and kind of see each other.
It's definitely going to open up communications in the future. I could see this being used for like different countries being able to communicate with each other. If you can't, you know, in person, so you could do, you know, conference calls, what have you.
Yeah. I even thought maybe for an application of, you know, going on tours. Like I know Andy went to Graceland to go see Elvis's house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it'd be cool for me to go, but, you know, I don't know if it's feasible for me to go out there. But what if they offered a 3D tour where they, you know, just walk around the Graceland and I'm able to see it virtual reality on my glasses and kind of look around, see the stuff, or maybe even interact with a few things, you know, maybe go up to a picture or a picture frame or something and then grab it and then touch it and kind of like move my hand around and see the back of it and, you know, twirl it around. And just interact with the world. That'd be super awesome, man, if I could do something like that.
You know, that's true. You got a good point with that, because there's limitless applications at that point. You could use it for museums, you know, many different things. And it's good for people that don't have the ability to go out. Maybe they're restricted, you know, they have to stay at home, or they don't have transportation, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's good, man.
Or what about a concert, man? Can you imagine sitting in a concert seat and then just having the concert in front of you and you're looking around and there's people jumping and dancing, but you're just in the comfort of your chair, you're just sitting there and they're, you know, that'd you're watching a concert, you know.
I wonder, it'd be like, you'd have to have it half off though. I wouldn't pay full price to not really be there.
Well, you know, yeah,
within,
you know,
limit, I think.
Well, also the experience, like you said, you know, let's say somebody doesn't have the capabilities, you know, not to say handicapped people can't go, but let's say they find it more challenging and they don't want to deal with going to a Metallica concert because they don't want to get, you know, into a mosh pit, you know, while they're in a wheelchair or whatever. Well, now they could put on some virtual glasses and then be at the concert and enjoy the music and the things that they like, but they're not actually there. They're actually in the comfort of their house.
I could see it working as well for, like, terminally ill. So, like, if they, you know, obviously they don't have it much longer and whatever they want to experience at the end, you know, be able to provide it through that virtual mean.
Yeah, man. You can go rock climbing or, you know, go to a waterfall and see a waterfall. And, man, it could be really cool. But at the same time, like you said, you know, kind of dangerous, man. Who's going to govern all this stuff? Where is too much going to be, you know, too crazy?
Yeah.
I know they came out with a couple of the scary games. There's a couple demos that are up on IGN, which is one of the websites that I usually keep an eye on for tech. And they have like a demo on this VR, I forget what they call it, like VR nightmare or something. Mm-hmm. And it just shows people, it shows a few clips of the game, but for the more part of the video is showing you how people react to it and how real they feel in this world and things scaring them. And you just see these people react like, you know, some people are kind of like, yeah, whatever, you know, this is fake. And there's a couple people that you could see them have scares and frights, man. So, you know, it's got to be real enough to, you know, kind of give you a good scare.
I'd have to try that out, man. I'm really intrigued now. You got me thinking, because there's not much that can scare me, especially shit like that. But, what, man, I'm thinking that. Wow.
No, yeah. Check out that video. I showed it to Junior after he was kept bugging me about VR. There's like this work simulator game where you could pretend like you work at a convenience store. So people walk in and they're like, I need a hot dog. So you got to go over to the bin, grab a hot dog. You got to put like mustard and stuff on it. So it's all virtual reality. And you're moving your controller or your gloves or whatever the control mechanism is, and then you're actually interacting with the world and trying to do what it is. So he saw some of those stupid guys playing, and they're, you know, obviously hamming it up, and they're squirting mustard all over the place, and Junior's cracking up. He thinks this is the funniest game ever. So he's like, Daddy, VR, VR, VR. I'm like, all right, you want to play VR? I'm like, well, this is the first game we're going to get, and I put on that scary one. Oh, no, Darry, I don't want to play that game.
No more VR for me.
Because he saw them people freaking out. You know, they're, like, screaming. You know, some of the chicks, they curl up into a ball. And they're like, no, you know, turn it off. I don't want to play no more. I don't want to play no more.
Imagine Silent Hill VR.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be awesome.
I mean, because this headset is totally enclosing your eyes. So you can't see what's outside of you. You can't see what's around you. You got 3D headphones on, so you're hearing everything stereo, 3D-scopic, or whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. So you can't even hear the things around you. So there could be literally a person standing right next to you, and you have difficulty perceiving them because you're in this virtual reality world. So these people were freaking out because they're like, I don't even know if somebody's standing around me. I can't deal with this. Turn it off. Turn it around. And they're freaking out, man.
I could see that. I could see that being like, you don't feel as comfortable. You'd have to be in a really comfortable environment. People you trust around you, I'd imagine. But usually, I mean, you're going to use that at home, so it shouldn't be an issue.
Nah, for sure. Yeah, Google it, man. IGN, VR. I forget what it's called. Paranormal VR, I think, is the name of it. Right. Now that I'm thinking about it. Google it, man. It's a really cool video to kind of see how people really perceive 3D, or at least so far what they have out there. It's pretty cool.
Hell yeah, definitely be looking out. And everybody else at home, if you have a chance, take a look at that as well. Tell us what you think about that VR. This is it for the episode for today, guys. And, you know, we want to say thank you all for listening. Remember to follow us at Freeform Network. We're on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Also, send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Also, remember, we are part of 1893 Coalition. It's us, intellectual nonsense and enthusiast project that makes up 1893 Coalition. You can visit our webpage at freeformnetwork.podbean.com. You're going to see our links for Stitcher, iTunes, and Podbean. Subscribe and hit that like button. Of course, you know, we want to hear what you think about our show. Only hit it if you truly feel it, but we definitely love to see it more and more. For Freeform Radio, this is Noel.
My name is Daniel.
And thank you all for listening. See you next week.
Dad.